We got Hawks tickets coming up.
Blue jean, baby.
Good song.
L.A. lady. Seamstress for the band.
All right. Why we're playing this, I'm not quite sure. But I will tell you this.
It's a great song. Happy we took the moment to do that.
Yes, it is a great. It's part of the Trump reel, though. He plays it before his rallies, trying to calm people down.
You need a little more of that.
Yeah, that's going to really help. Hey, yeah, I got Blackhawks tickets to go see the Hawks take on the Coyotes on April 5th. You're going to be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com or on Facebook. And that's coming up in about 10 minutes. Roughly 10 minutes, maybe a little longer, but not that much longer than that. People are calling now. Mm-hmm. Did I say to call now? No, I did not say to call now.
Follow the directions.
Right. Mm-hmm. One step at a time. Okay. Let me tell you something right here. Now, Anderson Cooper. Now, Anderson Cooper, an interesting chap, right? He he grew up in Manhattan. He is the son of Gloria Vanderbilt.
Which some people didn't know, I think, before this newest news. There was a lot of people talking about, oh, that's his mom?
He had a very, he grew up in a house where there was constantly and the story of Gloria Vanderbilt is a fascinating one.
It is.
They've written books and movies. She's 92 years old. She's still alive. And she looks great.
She looks amazing.
I cannot believe when I saw it, when I saw the video of this today,
She
sat down with People Magazine, with Jess Cagle from People and Entertainment Weekly. And I guess they're doing some sort of like video pod kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Gloria Vanderbilt looked like she's 60. I mean, it is
easily
fascinating. She sounds good. She's written a book about her life.
And there's a documentary, too, that Anderson Cooper co-wrote the book and is doing the documentary about its contents.
Right. Now, you would think that maybe
he makes sense.
Probably heard every story his mother's ever told.
That's the funny part about it. The documentary is called Nothing Left Unsaid.
Right.
Except
for this.
I myself, when I went to Farmington, went through a brief so-called lesbian relationship with a girl in school.
What?
We all did. No, I mean, it was very prevalent. I mean, you know. And
this is news to me.
I was like, this wasn't in the book.
This in the book, Mom.
How do you leave that out? Nothing left unsaid except that little
right.
piece of data.
I just happened to be a little bit of a lesbian when I was in grade school.
And his eyes bugged out, and he was truly shocked. This is not for the cameras. He was like, what?
He does go, what? I mean, he did. And the thing is, and Anderson Cooper, again, here's a guy who's seen everything, right? I mean, he's
Absolute
been around a lot.
War zones.
He and his tight black T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Hurricanes, war zones, Trump. He stood up to Trump last night. He called him a 5-year-old.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was like, you know, Anderson's been around, and Anderson is, I think, a very, very, he's good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's great on television.
A gay man who came out, even though a lot of people said he didn't need to, because a lot of people sort of felt like he was out there, but he did. He came out and took a stance on being a proud and gay.
And he talks about coming out to his mom. That's coming up in just a second. But, wow, what? Wait, what? He's like, wait, Mom, you what? Wait, it goes on.
Cynthia, her name was, and she came once to visit my aunts in New York on holiday, and we had this sort of lesbian relationship, and it felt so great, you know, it felt so good, and yet I thought there's something about this, and this is before the thing of I knew about my mother, and yet I thought, no, this is something that's not really what I want, you know. And it was very brief.
Thing about the mother is that Gloria Morgan Vanderbilt apparently lost custody of her during that custody trial in 1932 because she was accused of being a lesbian.
Yeah, it's a big deal because the Vanderbilts obviously were very, very wealthy East Coast family.
How do you? Yeah, it was a custody battle.
I think Gloria, Poor Little Rich Girl, I think is the name of the book, right? About in the movie about her, mm-hmm. about that whole her growing up. And how lonely her existence was. She was the only child, I believe. And it was like some crazy stuff that went on there. And the battle between her mom and her dad. And there was insanity and alcoholism and all that. And, you know, Anderson's brother, who's a half-brother, I mm-hmm. think, actually, mm-hmm. Was, and Gloria Vanderbilt had this amazing life, you know, New York, like nightclub designer. She did all these incredible things.
She brought him to Studio 54 twice before he was like 13.
Right. And he was a big, I mean, she was a big socialite in New York. Still sure. is. But Anderson's brother actually killed himself when they were kids, when they were teenagers, his half-brother, by throwing himself out the window of the high-rise they were living in. I mean, it's pretty awful stuff. And yeah. Anderson talks about it and writes about it and talks about what it was like to come out to his mom. But now all of a sudden, here she is. It's just like a nursing home. It's just like, you know, we're like in a nursing home, and all of a sudden, you know, you got some of the people like, what do I care? I'm going to
tell
the truth. Tell
it all, right. Bring it all out there.
That Jamaican nurse stole my glasses. You know, I mean,
and you're
it's
not
like,
quite sure if it's
right. It's oh, grandma,
or
no, Gigi, it's okay. No. It's gonna be,
it's gonna be
just fine.
You know, and you often hear this stuff. I mean, and she even names the name, right? The woman who, and Miss Porter's school back in Farmington back in the day. How many Cynthias were there?
Well, she's 92. She'd have to be dead by now, is the guess.
Maybe.
I mean, she's got, you know, back then I fell in love with a woman. It was
the name her though.
Lesbians. All right, wait, it goes on.
How old were you?
I was 13.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And so I think many, almost everybody goes through at one point, whether they turn out to be forever and ever.
And then she looks at her son.
Of course, the thing is that now we realize there is no difference. I mean, love is love.
Nice statement.
And Anderson Cooper, I mean, and you know, here's a guy who is, you know, sort of, I think, on the front lines of the marriage equality issue and of sort of bringing out of the closet and normalizing gay men and lesbian women in America and all that. Here's a guy who's like doing that. And he's looking at his mother, who's now admitting to this relationship when she was, not even of age to do anything, right? And he's like horrified. He's like, oh, my mom, shut up.
Well, he's also probably thinking, why don't we put that in the book? I mean, he co-wrote this whole book about her life and then the documentary, Nothing Left Unsaid. And all of a sudden she throws that little nugget out there and just bombshell. And he's like, wait a minute.
Little nugget.
Bombshell.
That's right. That's what they all called each other back then. Hey, well, here is Anderson, I think, trying to find a way to put this in context and make this okay.
I remember my mom, you know, we used to have my mom's friends over to the house all the time. And there was a man, Jose Quintero, who was a theater director, and his partner, Nick, would always come with him. And I remember, probably I was 12 or so, and I remember asking my mom about them one night when they were coming over for dinner. And my mom said, you know, they're a married couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds like he had quite the life. I mean, he was introduced to like very prominent people and got to see the New York society. And apparently the mom made a big effort to have him at the table, not put him at the kids' table, so that he would be part of the discussion.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of what shaped him.
No, and I think that's interesting, and I think it's good, and I think it's I like, you know, that story. That was not dissimilar in my childhood, actually.
Really?
We had a my mom had two very dear friends who, and I was like, it's about the same age, I think maybe 10. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. There was Uncle George and Uncle Frank. They were, you know, they came over to all the holidays. Mm-hmm. They came over to all the, you know, they were always, you know, doing something with them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, now what now? And what's going on? And then I remember another person in the family was, and I asked him because he was, it was actually my half brother. And I asked him, like, what?
He was older.
And he was older. He's like 10 years older, 12 years older than me. And he was like, let me explain. He was like a 25-year-old guy trying to explain to a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old, whatever it was. And I'm like, what? And what? And then I had to go. And then I went to my mom and I go, now, wait a second. Do, Uncle George and Uncle Frank kiss each other? Is that what goes on?
You asked that question.
Yes. And she said, and then they put it in context. I don't think this is really an unusual story in
what,
families.
Experimentation you're talking about?
No. The idea of kids trying to understand. Because in families, if there are family friends or relatives or whatever are gay, I think it's been much more accepted within the family unit, but then they tried to keep it a secret outside the family unit.
I think
unit.
That's true. We had there was a lesbian couple who was very close with my parents growing up, and they never really discussed that part of it.
They used to call them sisters. They remember they would, like, the two women were living together. And go, oh, no, those are, no, they're sisters. They don't look anything like each other.
I know.
Go, oh, no, those are sisters, and they're just, you know, they just live together now for the rest of them, take care of each other.
Yeah, you're right, and it just didn't matter, but I don't think that they were that. They didn't feel comfortable enough to be telling everybody, and I think that's why they didn't want, my parents didn't tell us as kids, so we wouldn't, like, just, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it just felt awkward to them. I'm not sure why they didn't talk about it.
But at what point
it was years later. Years.
At what point does Gloria Vanderbilt say to Anderson Cooper, oh, by the way, that's, you know, Frederico, and what was the, I forgot the guy's names now already from that cut, but that Armando and Henry, they're like a married couple. I love them very much. By the way, Mommy had her own dalliance too. Mommy really was in love with Cynthia when we were 13 of Arlington.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, don't you think that that would have been the perfect time when he came out to her to then explain that, or, you know, to kind of say, okay,
no, well,
this is part of the conversation.
Maybe she just remembered it 92 now. This is the craziest thing.
At that very moment when she's sitting down for the interview with People magazine. Wait a minute.
You know
there's something else.
I once went gay, too. I had forgotten about that. Oh, it was at Farmington. I was 13.
My favorite is just, doesn't everyone? Isn't that what everybody does? I don't know that everybody.
It was 1935. I remember it was a hot summer. All right. Hold on. There's one more here.
And, of course, they weren't a married couple in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of most people in America. The very idea of two men being married was probably abhorrent to most Americans at the time. And still is to many Americans, but in my mom's eyes, they were a married couple, and that always stuck in my mind. So I knew that when I did come out to my mom, I knew that ultimately she would be absolutely fine with it, because in her heart, that's the way she viewed it.
So
he felt good about coming out.
It was easier.
She didn't. You're right. That was the perfect time for her to go, you know what? Oh, it's an interesting thing. I invented blue jeans for women because I really, really like to look at women's crotches.
Or maybe their backsides. Who knew?
Right.
At that particular moment in time. Doesn't everybody?
High riding. Everybody does it. I remember so well. Your first gin and tonic at 13, and everybody does it.
She was at an all-girls school, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, Miss Porter's.
Part of the story, Miss Porter's.
Yeah, which is very, very fancy pants.
Yeah.
Oh, fancy pants. That's exactly what they called me.